作的一种生活，然后最终呢能够使自己得到提升。
So we learn how to not act whimsically, but follow a system of authority, even for the purpose of self-enjoyment.
所以说呢，我们就学着，哪怕是为了要得到感官享乐，也是按照经典的所推荐的这种方式去生活，而不是按照自己的异想天开的方式去生活。
So it's an authorized way of enjoying the senses without performing sinful activities.
所以呢，这是在一种授权的方式下去享受自己的感官，从而呢就不会再去这个犯罪，就是从事罪恶的活动。
So in this way, at least human beings can live as human beings.
所以这样的方式呢，这人他至少可以像人一样活着。
Without living like animals.
所以他就不会像是一个动物那样活着。
This is what we call morality, religious principles that all over the world there are some traces of this where people follow some religious principles and some principles of morality.
对，那这个叫道德标准，或者这叫宗教原则。那么在整个世界的范围内呢，都会有这样的标准，大家会按照这样的一个标准去生活。
So karma mimamsa, this karma mimamsa philosophy propagated originally by Jaimini, it was the most spread type of philosophy because most of the conditioned souls within this material world are interested in immediate sense enjoyment.
所以说呢，由 Jaimini 他所倡导的 karma mimamsa 的这条理论呢，是被大部分的人所追随的这种理论。因为大部分的人呢，依然还是想要去享受感官的享乐的。
But in karma, in Kali Yuga, this philosophy start becoming misused by the Brahmanas.
但是呢，在卡利年代呢，这样的哲学理论呢，就开始被婆罗门们滥用了。
And they start using the sacrifices of killing animals.Just on the pretext of eating the flesh of the animals.
所以呢，他们就开始用这个祭祀来屠杀动物，那就是为了要想着，就是因为就是给自己找一个要吃掉动物的这个肉，而给动物做祭祀这么一个借口来从事这个活动。
It's like they were eating Mahaprasadam because it was the result of the sacrifices. They were eating the flesh of the animals that were offering sacrifice.
就好像他们在吃 Mahaprasadam 一样，因为他们是把这个动物的肉呢，是经过先供奉过，先供奉过，先进行祭祀的。然后他们就觉得就可以祭祀完之后就可以吃这动物的肉了。
But it was wrong. It was sinful.
但是这是错的，因为这是有罪的。
Because they were killing the animals mainly for that purpose.
因为呢，他们杀死这个动物的目的呢，就是为了吃动物的肉。
And in the Vedas, it's described that in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice of animals is forbidden.
而在这个韦达经里面说呢，用动物来进行祭祀这件事情是被禁止的。
In Kali Yuga.
在卡利年代，在韦达经中说，在卡利年代
in Kali Yuga is forbidden the sacrifice of animals.
在卡利年代，祭祀动物是被禁止的。
So the Brahmanas were misusing these sacrifices for a sinful purpose, a sinful intent.
所以说呢，这婆罗门呢就把它给滥用了，它是把这个祭祀用成了一种罪恶的活动。
So it became a well spread activity, the performance of sacrifices, killing animals and then distributing the flesh of the animals. So people were becoming very sinful behind using this karma mimamsa philosophy as a pretext.
那然后人们呢就开始把这个karma mimamsa 的这个理论呢作为一种借口，作为一种理由， 然后呢，开始大肆的祭祀动物，之后呢，再派掉动物的这个血肉来吃掉，但是这是非常的有罪的。
This is what gave rise to the Buddhism. Buddhism appear Buddha appear exactly to stop this, stop these sacrifices. They were sinful, and establish a new religion that was even non-Vedic.
所以这也就是为什么会有佛陀的出现，然后呢，会有佛教的理论的出现。那佛陀出现就是为了要禁止人们大量的屠杀这个动物，但是呢，他所传播的这个理念呢，甚至于不是韦达里面的教导。
Yes, he explained about non-violence, which is from the Vedas.
那当然，他所倡导的呢是非暴力，那非暴力呢是来自于韦达的。
How to be compassion towards others.
如何对别人表示出怜悯。
But he explained about the goal of life as something that is not part of the Vedas, voidism.
但是呢，他所讲述的生命的目标是空无，那这个是韦达里面没有的内容。
So Buddhism became very spread in India for quite a long time.
那有很长一段时间呢，这个。佛教的教导呢，在印度就非常的广泛的流传开来。
And eventually it was removed because of the impersonal teachings of Shankaracharya.
但是最终呢，是由Shankaracharya 的非人格主义的这个教导，把佛教的教导给清除了。
Shankaracharya utilized the Vedanta philosophy, which is a very complete philosophy.
Shankaracharya 呢，他就用了维丹塔的哲学。那维丹塔哲学呢，是一套很完整的哲学。
And Vedanta philosophy is given by Vyasadeva himself originally.
而维丹塔哲学呢，在最开始的时候就是由 Vyasadeva 给所给予的。
But Shankaracharya presented Vedanta. With influence from the voidism philosophy of Buddha.
但是呢，Shankaracharya他所用的这个理论呢，他是在佛教的这个空无的理论的影响之下来传递的。
Because people were used to Buddhism for many hundreds of years. So in order to introduce Vedas, introduce the Vedic concept, but with the Vedanta concept, but with a tinge of Buddhism.
因为当时的这个佛教的教导呢，已经盛行了好几百年了，所以呢，圣格尔查耶他为了要宣传维丹特的这个教导，他就必须要在这里面渲染一些佛学的教导在里面。
So he gave a imperfect interpretation on a Vedanta sutra.
所以说呢，他就给这个维丹塔苏特进这个做出了并不完美的解释。
Bear in mind that Buddha, who propagated Vedic philosophy, is an incarnation of Krishna.
但是我们必须要知道。主佛陀他所宣扬的虽然是虚无主义，但是呢，主佛陀他是主 Krishna 的一位化身。
So it was necessary Krishna's incarnation to really rectify the situation caused by the Brahmanas that were misusing this karma mimamsa philosophy.
对呢，其实是 Krishna 他需要去负这个责任去。更正滥用Karma Mimamsa 这套哲学的这些婆罗门们他们所做的不对的事情。
But then we were left with Buddhism and the wrong philosophy, voidism. So it is the Lord who instructed Lord Shiva to come as Shankaracharya to reintroduce the authority of the Vedas, because Buddha denied the Vedas, so he, Shankaracharya came, Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya to reintroduce the authority of the Vedas.
但是呢，这个因为这个佛教它的这个理念呢是背离了伟大经的教导的，所以主呢他就这个训示主希瓦的化身圣卡尔查亚前来，然后重新的再来宣扬伟大经的教导。
嗯 ，So Shankaracharya very intelligent, is Lord Shiva himself very intelligent, presented philosophy.Very similar to Buddhism, but with the authority of the Vedas.
那Shankaracharya 呢，他是非常的有智慧的，他就是主本人。那他呢，是以一种很精妙的方式，急着和佛教的这个理念很相似的这种方法来传扬伟大经的教导。
But he gave an interpretation to the Vedas.To the Vedanta explained that we are one, simultaneously one and different from the absolute truth, from Krishna, one and different. But Shankaracharya only presented the oneness. We are all one with the absolute truth. We are all the absolute truth. And this was his interpretation. He didn't present the whole Vedanta conclusion perfectly.
那因为维丹特哲学他所做出的这个理论呢，就是我们和主是既一又异的。但是呢，圣卡尔查亚他所展示的维丹特哲学呢，只是一部分，就是他只是说我们和主是一，是相同的。但是呢，他没有再说另外那一部分。
So to see.From philosophy of Buddhism, Voidism, we are everything ultimately zero. It comes to the philosophy of Shankaracharya, everything is one.
所以说呢，这个佛教的这个教导呢是空无，就是一切都是零，没有。然后从这样的一种哲学理论呢，就转化到了 Shankaracharya 的这个理论，就是说一切都是一。
And we can see we live now in a digital world, and a digital world is made of codes with ones and zeros.
With ones and
digital,
zeros.
The digital world is made of ones and zeros. That's what a digital means: a series of ones or zeros, a composition of ones and zeros. The everything digital in the world.Is made of ones and zeros.
Okay, got it. 那我们现在可以看到呢，就是我们现在已经进入到了这种数字化的这个时代。然后数字化的这一切呢，它都是由一和零来组成的。
I don't know if purposely is like that, but the fact that it really corroborates the fact now that the world is very much influenced by these two philosophies. Either everything is nothing, or we are all one.
那我不知道这到底是一种巧合呢还是怎么样，但是呢它就恰巧的代表了这两种哲学，就说这我们现在这事件呢是被这两种哲学所深深的影响着。我们大家的认为呢，就是要不然就是零什么都没有是空无的，要不然呢就认为所有的这一切都是一，都是相似，都是一样的。
The whole world is influenced by these two great philosophies, voidism and impersonalism.
所以呢，就整个世界呢，都是被这两种哲学所深深的影响着，被虚无主义以及被非人格主义所影响着。
That's why Srila Prabhupada came exactly to defeat these two wrong philosophies.
所以，就为什么说阿巴巴他的到来，就是为了要打击这两个错误的学理念。
He came to preach against voidism and impersonalism.
所以呢，他要传播的这个内容呢，就是要反对空无主义以及非人格主义。
Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatadeshatarine. Srila Prabhupada is a servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who came to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.Which is against the voidism and impersonalism philosophies.
这位Papa呢是Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur的一位仆人。 他来到这里呢，就是为了要传播 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu的教导。那这教导呢，就是为了要反对虚无主义以及非人格主义。So
we mention only this Karma Mimamsa philosophy because this is the most prominent and is the more will create the more devastation in humanity.
那我们之所以要提到这个 Karma Mimamsa 的这个哲学理念呢，是因为它是最重要的，而且呢，它也是毁掉了整个人类社会的最主要的这个理念。Yes,
the philosophy Nyaya logic is there, but most people are not interested.
那当然了，这个正理教也Nyaya philosophy 哲学。Nyaya。
尼亚哲学，尼亚哲学是在这儿，但是呢，大家对它并不是很感兴趣。尼亚哲学呢，它是基于逻辑的。So a discussion, a philosophy in a logical way.
是以一种哲学，是一种逻辑的方式来探讨哲学。It's
for a minority of people.
那这个是少数人去探讨的哲学。This
is was the sage Gautama that Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport Gautama.
这是由哲人 Gautama 所倡导的理论，释迦牟尼佛在教室里面也提到了这位。And
then is the atomic philosophy. Vaisheshika, how everything is all ultimately is all composed of atoms, material, everything in this world is composed of atoms.
然后还有就是 Vaisheshika 他所倡导的理论，就是这个整个这个世界如何，它都是由原子所创造的。This
was given by the sage Kanada. Srila Prabhupada also mentions.
那这个是由 Kananda 所给予的，是吧？爸爸在这儿也提到了他的名字。Then
is the philosophy of Sankhya given by Kapila.
然后呢，还有由Kapila Dev 所给予的 Sankhya 哲学，数论哲学。Not
our Kapila Dev incarnation of Krishna. This is another Kapila.
这位 Kapila 并不是主 Krishna 的。 化身 Kapila Dev, 这是另外一位 Kapila.
So he presented the analytical process to see how what is matter and what ultimately is not matter means is spiritual analysis.
他是用一种分析性的方法来告诉大家什么是物质，然后什么不是物质，然后最终呢？ 来得出的结论就是说它是灵性的。
This is material, this is earth, this is water, this is air, fire, this is the mind. Split all the 24 elements until find one element that is not material, that's spiritual.
这是土，这是水，这是火，就所有这些都是物质的这个元素，但是呢。
Counting all these 24 material elements until you find one element that is not material.
Okay. 就是他在数这24项这个物质元素，然后直到他找到的那一项不是物质的那个元素，那是灵性的。So
by analysis of the world and split everything into parts, and you come to one part that you know it's not like the others, is eternal, is as consciousness.
就是说他去研究和分析在这世界上，在这地球上，就是在这个世界上的所有的这些物质的元素，直到他找到了那一个元素和其他的物质元素是不一样的，然后他就说呢，这个元素呢，它是 灵性的，它是永恒的。
And then there is the philosophy of yoga, Patanjali.
然后呢，还有关于瑜伽的哲学 Patanjali。
Srila Prabhupada didn't mention here in his list.
He mentioned Patanjali.
He didn't. He mentioned?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He said that Patanjali is also one of them.
Oh, okay. Later on, okay. Yeah. So Patanjali presented the philosophy of yoga.
那沙帕巴的要旨里面也提到了 Patanjali 他所展现的呢是瑜伽的哲学。
It's a philosophy that enabled the soul to awaken his consciousness beyond the material body.
那他的哲学呢，就是说这个灵魂会唤醒他的知觉，他会超越于他的躯体。
To understand consciousness beyond matter, beyond the body.
从而了解呢，这个意识呢，它是超越于物质的，是超越于躯体的。
That's the goal of yoga, to free the soul from matter.
这是瑜伽的目标，是为了要让灵魂从物质中解脱出来。
And then there's a philosophy of Vedanta.
然后呢，还有 Vedanta 的哲学。
Which focus on the supreme goal of life.
那这个维丹塔哲学呢，是专注于生命的至尊的目标的。
That's the Vedanta Sutra, the conclusion of all the Vedas given by Srila Vyasadeva.
那这个呢，是由 Srila Vyasadeva 他所给予我所有的伟达经里面的最核心的结论。
And this is the knowledge Srila Vyasadeva gave to his son Shukadeva Goswami.
而这也是 Srila Vyasadeva 给予他的儿子 Srila Sukadeva Goswami 的知识。
He gave him the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary, the perfect commentary of the Vedanta Sutra.
所以说呢，他是通过圣典博迦瓦坛把这门知识传授给 Srila Sukadeva Goswami 的。那么圣典博迦瓦坛呢是维丹塔苏特的评注。
Ask Radha Priya to hear very carefully, to hear very careful if there's no break in your voice, not just now when you are speaking to her, but in the course of your speaking, if there is no break of your voice or my voice, because on my side I'm hearing breakings in your voice. I cannot follow everything you are translating. And I don't know if you are also feeling any break from my voice. Are you?
No, there is no break from you. There are no break from you. But please allow me to
ask her to be attentive. And if after a certain period of time, she can make a sign if there was some breaking sometimes or not. Not just when you speak with her.
Yeah. Radha Priya Maharaji.阿叔说是这样的，因为他刚在听我说话的时候呢，听我说话是有断句的。
优势。
对，我知道，就是他说有时候他听见我说话的时候是有断句的，他不能完全听到我的这个声音。他就想您在听这个讲课的时候，您得这个听一段，看看有没有断句的时候，并不是说就是现在有没有，而就有的时候，比如说就突然断一下什么的，就有这种情况。
Like no, most of the time there is no interruption, but sometimes I miss your voice. I don't hear you.
但是就是大部分的时候呢，其实阿叔是能够听到我的声音的，但有的时候呢，我的声音就没了。所以他现在弄不清楚到底是他那边的原因，还是我那边，还是我这边的原因。那我也不知道，因为我今天听阿叔那边的声音还是挺连贯的。
So I'm just concerned if the devotees are hearing your translation without any breaks.
所以阿叔他之所以这么问的原因呢，就是怕奉献者在听这些讲课的时候，他们听见我的这个声音也是断续的，有没有断续？
Okay. So yeah, this philosophy of Vedanta Sutra, this is the perfection understanding of the Vedas.
所以说呢 ，Vedanta Sutra。他的这个哲学理念呢，是对于伟达经的正确的理解。
What the other philosophers presented was just different compartments of the whole Vedas, but the Vedanta Sutra, the Vedanta conclusion, is the conclusion of the whole Vedas, whereas the others just presented parts of it.
而其他的这些哲学呢，只是在展示的是《韦达经》中的某一部分的哲学里面某一部分的内容，而Vedanta Sutra 呢，它是对于整部《韦达经》的整体的结论。
And not only that, their knowledge, the knowledge of all those philosophies, were very much corrupted with the coming of Kali Yuga.
而且呢，由于卡利年代的到来呢，使得其他的这些哲学呢都腐化了。
And there is no sampradaya, no disciplic succession connected with the original teachers.
而且呢，也没有sampradaya, 也没有这个传承和最原初的老师相连接。
So you may hear very often about these philosophies, the philosophy of yoga, the philosophy of Sankhya, the philosophy of karma mimamsa, or a philosophy of Nyaya logic. We may hear, you know, throughout the books or people speaking to you about these philosophies, but there is no disciple succession stemming from the source of these philosophers.
所以说呢，我们可能在书中啊，或者在听别人在讲述的时候呢，经常会听见有瑜伽的哲学，有 Kama Mimamsa 的哲学，有这个Sankhya 的哲学、数论哲学，还有这个逻辑的这个哲学。但是呢，我们其实没有办法去追溯到和这些哲学的最原初的老师相传递的这个使徒传承。
And besides that, they are not complete presentations of the Vedas.
而且呢，这些哲学都不是对《韦达经》的完全的展示。
They focus on a particular understanding of the Vedas.
他们只是专注于对《韦达经》的某一方面的理解。
Whereas the Vedanta of Vyasadeva, he focused on the supreme spiritual goal for human beings.
而是 Vyasadeva 的 Vedanta Sutra, 就这个终极伟达经的哲学呢，他所专注的这个点是人类他需要达到的最至尊的目标。
Vedanta Sutra was written is the work, personal work, literary work of Srila Vyasadeva.
Vedanta Sutra 是由 Srila Vyasadeva 所著的。
The Vedas and the Puranas, Upanishad, he composed them, he put into written form what the knowledge that was already there.
但是其他的
Vedanta Sutra is his own writing.
Yeah, 就是其他的那些往事书啊，其他的那些经典呢，都是由Vyasadeva 所编纂的，就这些所有的这些知识这些信息都已经在那儿了，他只不过是把它们给编辑了在一起。但是维丹特苏索这部书呢，是由 Srila Vyasadeva 自己亲自写的。
So, the Vedas, Puranas and Upanishads, this is all written by Srila. He did an incredible work because he gathered all this knowledge that was propagated by great sages without any books. And he gathered all this knowledge that was already there and organized it in a very nice way, edit everything nice and put in a written form for Kali Yuga.
那 Srila Vyasadeva 呢，他也是做了一件非常卓越的贡献，也就是说呢，他把所有的这些韦达经啊、奥义书啊、往事书啊、Upanishad 还有就是 Prana 所有这些信息，这些信息呢都是由前代的这些圣人们所留下来的这些信息，但是呢并没有留在书面上，所以说呢为了这个卡利年代的人呢，是要 Vyasadeva 就把所有的这些信息全部都给编撰了在一起，然后呢把它给写成了这个书。
And this is the meaning of Vyasa. Vyasa means editor.
这也就是 Vyasa 的意思所在。Vyasa 的意思呢是编辑的意思。
That's what he did. He edited all the Vedas, composed everything nicely, and put in a written form for Kali Yuga people who have no brains.
那也就是他所做的事情，就是他把所有的韦达经、往事书，所有这些书、这些内容呢，都给他编辑在了一起，然后呢，把他们都给他编辑成册，从而呢，能够使在卡利年代的人能够读到。那卡利年代的人呢，是没脑子的人。
We don't have memory, so we hear one time two words for translation, and then we forget what we have to translate.
啊，那么就因为在这个卡利年代的人呢是没有任何的记忆的，所以说呢，我们可能读了两个翻译出来的这个词儿，然后之后呢，我们就把它给忘了，就不知道跟他说什么了。
There's a game that young people are used to do. I don't know if in China they also do that. Yes, is a long circle of boys and girls, and then you begin by saying a short message at the ears of the person is next to you, and that person is supposed to repeat what he hears to the next person, and then when he comes back to the original person, the message is totally different. And it's just a short message, a very short message. Today is a very nice day, but it will rain in the afternoon, something like that. And you say that to your next person very clearly, and the person say to the next one, and it start becoming so misinterpreted that in the end, when it comes to you, back to you, it's totally a different message. Have you done this game when you were children?
No, well, I do know we have this type of children, but I personally haven't really involved. I haven't got the chance to play that.
Yeah, but I do know. You can do also with adults. You can also do with adults. You know, you have about 20 or 30 people in a circle, and you just, on the ear of one person, you say a message, and that person say on the ear of the next person, he says that, he repeats the message, and as he's gone, repeats already with some change or something incomplete, and by the end, when the message comes back to the original person, is totally different.
就是阿叔刚才说呢，就有这么一个游戏。其实咱们中国人自己也会玩这个游戏，就是这个小孩一群小孩，然后呢，他们就围成圈坐着，然后呢，其中一个人呢就开始在他旁边的这个小朋友的耳边呢就传一句话。这句话很简单的一句话，就比如说是今天天气很好，但是今天下午会下雨。然后呢，他就把这句话告诉了他旁边的这个小朋友，旁边的小朋友呢就会把这句话呢再告诉旁边的这个人。然后等到整个这句话传完了一圈之后，再传回来，再传回到最开始说话的人的时候，他就发现他所收回来的这个信息已经跟他最开始说的这个话已经完全的走偏了，已经完全不是那句话了。就是因为当在这个传话的这个过程中，听话的这个人，他就会加上他自己对这句话的理解。
So it's not only we don't have a good memory, but we have the tendency to make up in order to do not lose face or just to show that we have understood and we have repeated, and we just make up something else.
所以说呢。这就是这个展示的，在卡利年代，我们呢不仅没有很好的记忆力，而且呢，我们还愿意去创造出一些新的事情，那就是为了要让自己不丢面子，或者是要让自己觉得好像我理解了，我懂了，所以说呢，我就必须得说出点什么来。
So Srila Vyasadeva, he did an incredible work to present all this body of knowledge so important for human beings. He presented this incredible body of knowledge in a way that can be understood by most of human beings.
所以说呢 Srila Vyasadeva 他做出了这个非常巨大的贡献，就是他编撰出了这么大部头的这些书籍，而且呢，他所编撰的这种方式呢，是使得大部分的这个人类在读的时候呢，是可以读懂的。
But at least the Brahmanas, the most intelligent class of people, can absorb most of this knowledge, and then they can explain to the mass of people how they can put into practice.
但至少呢，就是处于婆罗门阶层的人，他能够很好的去吸收这些知识，然后呢，把这些知识再讲述给普通大众，使得普通大众知道如何去运用研习这些知识。
But people can become very, very easily attracted by any department of the Vedas and become more attracted to that particular department presented by these great sages and not attain the ultimate goal of life.
但是呢，人们其实也很有可能被某一位哲人他所展示的伟大经的其中的一部分的这种教导所吸引。但是呢，他去研习这一部分教导的时候呢，他就没有办法去达到最终的生命的目标。
And then, so that's why Srila Vyasadeva decided to write the conclusion. And also another important thing is that the Vedas are very vast. The knowledge of the Vedas is vast, 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 like an ocean.
那还有另外一件事情呢，就是《伟达经》里面的知识浩如烟海。
And it touches all different aspects of our existence in this world.
而且呢，它也涉及了我们在这个世界中的存在的方方面面的内容。
Everything we need to know to keep the body and soul together, to be in good health, be maintained in a proper way, everything is given in the Vedas. It's perfect knowledge, covers every aspect of our existence. Material,
那
bodily needs, mental needs, intellectual needs, and ultimate spiritual needs. Everything is there.
伟达经里面的这个知识呢，是包罗万象的。它为我们提供了我们所需要了解的一切，包括我们如何生活呀，如何这个去得到我们在存在中的一些物质需求啊，以及灵性需求啊，所有的这些信息全部都是。包括在这完美的伟大经历的。
But most, as we said in the beginning, most people, because being conditioned in material existence, we identify with the material body and they try to satisfy their material body to enjoy their senses. So most of human beings, conditioned souls in this world, they are attracted to karmakanda, the rituals to improve their material way of life in this life or how to have a better life in the next life.
但是呢，我们一开始的时候也说了，那么这个人呢，大部分的人呢，他是处于躯体化的这个概念的认同里面，所以就认同于自己是这具躯体，从而呢就会就着这具躯体去进行各种各样的感官享乐，所以说呢，他就会专注于 Karmakanda 这部里面的这些信息，从而让自己知道如何在这一世或者在下一世，过上更好的这种生活。
As a result, most people become that's why sorry, that's why the majority of the Vedas, more than 90% of the Vedas, deal with the subject matter of karmakanda, means how to enjoy materially in this life and the next.
那也就是说，也就这个原因呢，使得在伟达经里面的90%的内容都是 Karmakanda 相关的这个内容，也就是告诉人们如何能够更舒舒服服的在这一世以及在下一世中生活。
But that's not the goal of the Vedas.
但这并不是伟达经的目的目目
So,
呃目标。
Srila Vyasadeva, out of great compassion, he decided to squeeze out just the essence of all the Vedas, and he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, the conclusion of all this knowledge of the Vedas.
所以呢，舍勒维亚斯蒂夫他出于怜悯呢，他就把《伟达经》里面的所有的这些精髓的内容给抽取了出来，然后呢，写下了《伟达经》的结论《维达塔苏特》。
So that's why Vedanta Sutra begins with a statement, Yatha Brahma Jigyasa. Now that we have attained this human form of life, it's time to inquire about a spiritual reality.
所以说呢，这个维达塔苏萨他最开始的说话就会说。 由于我们现在好不容易得到了这人类的身形，所以呢，我们就必须要去探寻灵性的目标。But
we hear the story. We already covered this in the first canto. How Srila Vyasadeva, after editing and writing all the Vedas, all the Puranas, Upanishads, and then after writing this incredible masterpiece with the conclusion of all the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, still, Srila Vyasadeva was not fully satisfied within his heart.
但是呢，我们在《阅读圣典》不是把它第一篇的时候呢，也已经读到了这段故事，就是Srila Vyasadeva他如何写完了所有的这些往事书、Upanishad奥义书，所有这些经典之后呢，然后呢，他又这个花了大量的心血写完了《Vedanta Sutra》终极伟达经。
That's why at that time Narada Muni, his spiritual master, came.
那也就是在那会儿呢，他的灵性导师 Narada Muni 来了。And
explained the reason why you are not happy, satisfied within your heart is that because you have not described sufficiently about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate aspect of the Absolute Truth.
那所以呢，他就向他解释说呢，你之所以现在在内心中没有感到全然的心满意足的原因呢，是由于你没有足够的充足的去注写荣耀至尊人格首神的这个信息。那么这个至尊人格首神呢，其实是最重要的终极的真理。
If you ask, we are spiritual souls and we have all a connection with the Supreme Spiritual Soul, so that we need to hear more about that Supreme Spiritual Soul.
那如果我们要是个体的灵魂，我们和那至尊的灵魂是相连接在一起的话，那也就意味着我们必须要聆听更多的关于至尊灵魂的信息。
So he told him you have to describe more about the activities, the qualities, the different forms of the Supreme Personality of God at his pastimes in this material world to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls.
所以说呢，那儿的穆尼就对说了维亚斯蒂普说呢，为了要吸引在这物质世界的受条件限制的灵魂，你就需要去描述更多的关于至尊人格首神这至尊的目标，他所具备的形象。 他所拥有的品质，以及他所进行的各种各样的逍遥活动。Because
this is how Narada Muni himself became a devotee.
因为这是Narada Dev他自己成为奉献者的原因。In
his previous life, he was a young boy and he was serving the great saintly persons, and then he started hearing from them the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, and his heart was totally conquered, and he became a devotee in the next life, appeared as Narada Muni.
Narada Muni的前世呢是一个小男孩，然后他呢就在服务一些圣人，然后他就从这些圣人的口中呢就听到了圣典不达瓦坛的讲述，而且呢就听到了。 Sri Krishna 就至尊人格首神的逍遥时光，所以呢，他就完全的被吸引了，而且呢，完全的被沉醉其中，从而使得他在下一世才成为了Narada Muni。So
that's why Srila Vyasadeva, when he heard Narada Muni, then he went through all the Puranas and particularly the Bhagavat Purana, and he edited very nice and presented very nice in a form of Srimad Bhagavatam as we have now, and with very clear explanation about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his pastimes in different incarnations, and ultimately his pastimes in his original form.
所以听了Narada Muni的这一席话之后呢，Srila Vyasadeva 他就 从所有的这些往事书中，特别是从国家办往事书中呢，去萃取了所有的这些信息，从而呢写下了圣殿伯加瓦坛，也就是我们现在有的这部著作。那么圣殿伯加瓦坛里面呢，就记述了关于 Krishna 的至尊人格守神的这一切信息，他的形象、他的活动以及他所有的这些化身，然后最终呢也描述了这个 Krishna 在他原初的形象下的这些活动消失了。
At that time, yes, Srila Vyasadeva became very ecstatic.
所以呢，就在这一会儿的时候呢， Srila Vyasadeva 他就变得非常的极乐了。
And after compiling the all Bhagavatam based on the Purana, particularly the Bhagavat Purana, when compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, he recited to his own wife when she was pregnant.
那么当他编纂了所有当他根据 Purana, 特别是根据伯加梵 Purana, 就是伯加梵往事书来编撰了这部圣殿伯加瓦坛之后呢，他就把这个圣殿伯加瓦坛呢念给他的妻子听，他妻子当时正在怀孕。
So, she was pregnant of Shukadeva Goswami.
所以当时他怀着的呢，就是Srila Shukadeva Goswami。
So the child also hear this wonderful sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam verses.
所以呢，这个在妈妈肚子里的这个孩子呢，他也听到了圣殿伯加瓦坛的这些诗节唱诵的音阵。
And we hear in the beginning when he was born, Shukadeva Goswami initially, even within the womb of his mother.He lost all interest in material life. He didn't even want to take birth.
说Shukadeva Goswami 在妈妈的肚子里的时候呢，他已经对这物质世界失去了任何兴趣，他根本就不想被生出来。
So he stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years.
所以呢，他就在他妈妈的子宫里面待了16年。
His father did not know how to convince him to take birth.
所以他爸爸就完全不知道该怎么办了，不知道怎么能够说服他被生出来。
Srila Vyasadeva had to go to Dwarka and beg Krishna to come and try to convince his child to take birth.
所以呢，Srila Vyasadeva 呢，他就必须得去找 Krishna， 并且呢向 Krishna 去请求他来帮助他，来劝说这个孩子赶紧出生。
So Krishna spoke to the child in the womb, said, "My dear boy, don't worry. When you will take birth, you will not be attracted by material energy."
所以呢，这个 Krishna 他就必须得对这个在子宫里的这个孩子说呢，说我亲爱的孩子呀，说你不用担心，当你被生出来之后呢，你是不会被这个物质能量所吸引的。
And shortly after, Shukadeva Goswami was born, and we hear the story.As he came out, he didn't even undergo all these rituals, purification, everything. He just walked out and went into the forest, totally detached, because he was already 16 years old.
当 Sukadeva Goswami 他生出来之后呢，他当时他根本就没有经过任何的出生的净化仪式，就径直的走出了家门，然后呢就走向了森林，然后是完全处在一种弃世的状态的。因为他这会儿已经16岁了。
His father and mother crying, "My son, my son!" But he didn't walk back, did not look back.
然后当时呢，他爸爸妈妈就使劲的呼唤着他，我的儿啊，我的儿啊！但是呢，他连头也不回。
The father followed him, tried to stop him, but eventually lost him.
他爸爸呢，就跟着他就追了出去，但最终呢，还是把他给追丢了。
So, but then the father did something very intelligently. He wrote a few verses of Srimad Bhagavatam in palm leaves and gave to a few of his servants, and he told them to go into the forest and continuously recite from those verses loudly, so in order with the hope to attract his son.
但是呢，当时他爸爸呢就做了一件非常的有智慧的事儿。就他在这个棕榈叶上呢写了几节圣殿伯加瓦坛里的诗节，然后呢就把这些诗节给了他们家的一些仆人，然后呢让仆人们拿着这几个诗节呢继续到森林里面去不断的 去念诵这个诗节，然后存着这个能够吸引他的希望。
So after some time, Shukadeva Goswami actually heard one of those servants of Vyasadeva reciting from the Srimad Bhagavatam verses.
然后，过了一段时间之后呢 ，Shukadeva Goswami 他真的就听到了，说 Vyasadeva 他所派出来的这个仆人念诵的这一两首诗节，声念不代表他这个诗节。
And he was reciting the pastime of how Krishna killed Putana, and even though Putana was a evil demon with the intention to poison the baby Krishna, because she had some little motherly affection, Krishna gave, out of his great compassion, gave her a position equal to Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world.
那么所念诵的这个诗节所讲述的这个内容呢，是 Krishna杀死 Putana 的故事。那这个 Putana 呢，她是一个非常邪恶的女巫，然后她要用她的毒奶汁毒死 Krishna。但是呢 ，Krishna 他是非常的怜悯的，因为他看到了 Putana 有一种就里面有一点点这种母性的这种爱，从而呢使得 Krishna 就赐予了 Putana 在灵性世界和他的母亲亚修的妈妈同样的地位。
So when he heard that, he said, wow, this is an incredible personality. I have to know more about this Krishna.
所以说呢，当时呢 Sukadeva Goswami 听到了这个世界，就听到这段消失光之后，他就在想，哎呀，这个人实在是太了不起了，我得再多听点关于 Krishna 的信息。
He start walking towards the place where the sound was coming from.
所以呢，他就开始朝着去念诵世界的这个声音走去。
And the servants start walking towards Vyasadeva's hurt.
而这个仆人呢，也开始朝着是了 Vyasadeva 的这个方向走。
While he was reciting, he was walking back home.
那然后呢，这个他就慢慢这么走着走着呢，是就是朝他们家的这个方向走。
He was reciting loud, and he was walking towards Vyasadeva's house, and Shukadeva Goswami was following the sound because he wanted to hear more.
就这个仆人呢，他是很大声的在念，然后一边念呢，一边朝着去了 Vyasadeva 的家里面走。那然后呢，这个Shukadeva Goswami 呢，就一直跟在后面，因为他想听更多的关于这段故事的描述。
So eventually he went back home.
所以就这样呢，就把 Shukadeva Goswami 就给引回家了。
And then he wanted to hear more from his father.
所以然后呢，他就希望能够从他的父亲那里聆听更多。
So the father again narrate to him the whole Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以就这样呢，父亲就向他又诵读了整部的圣殿普达瓦坛。
And then.That's how Shukadeva Goswami later met Parikshit Maharaj.
然后后来呢 ，Shukadeva Goswami 呢又见到了 Parikshit 王。
He was totally detached. He was already detached from material existence from the time of birth by the blessings of Krishna.
那是了 ，Shukadeva Goswami 由于得到了 Krishna 的祝福，从而使得他在一出生的时候呢，对于这个世界就完全没有依附心的。
Not only was detached, but he was completely ecstatic because of having heard Srimad Bhagavatam and had been convinced about the loving devotion to Krishna, about the process of loving devotion to Krishna, had become a pure devotee of Krishna.
而且他不仅是这个气绝，而且呢，他是完全处于极乐之中的，因为他听到了圣殿不加瓦坛。然后呢，他听到了对 Krishna 的这个奉爱服务，所以呢，他是完全的信服于要为 Krishna 进行奉爱服务的，然后和 Krishna 之间是有这样的爱的关系的。
So when he came to the gathering where Parikshit Maharaj was surrounded by many sages, he came there coming out the forest. He had no clothes on him, was walking like that, his body neglected, you know. walking, looked like almost like a crazy young man. And that's how we came to the gathering of sages with Maharaj Parikshit.
当时呢，帕克希特王是和很多人、很多圣人围坐在一起的。那苏克德和古斯瓦米呢，他是就像是一个精神失常的一个年轻人一样，也赤身裸体的，就这样毫不顾忌的走进了众人围坐的这个场里。
But when all these sages saw this young man coming, they all stood up in great respect to welcome him.
但是呢，当所有这些圣人见到了走进来的这位年轻人的时候呢，他们全部都满怀着敬意的站了起来，然后呢，很尊敬的来迎接他。
Just because of his demeanor, his physical aspect, and probably the effulgence emanating from his body, they could see him as a perfect devotee, and they all stood up in great respect.
因为从虽然苏克德和古斯瓦米身上所绽放的这种光彩，就可以使这些圣人们知道这个人是一个非常纯粹的奉献者，是非常了不起的一个人物，所以呢，他们才会站起来向他致以敬意。
And who were there in the assembly of great sages? Even Narada Muni was there. Vyasadeva was there. All these great sages were all there.
那么当时在聚会中都有谁呢？ Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, 所有这些伟大的圣人都在场。
They wanted to hear from this young man.
他们都想从这个年轻人那里去聆听。
Because he had understood, had absorbed, had realized this perfect knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam.
因为他理解以及他觉悟到了圣典波迦瓦塔米的知识。
So they decided that he should be the speaker because he was the most qualified person to answer the questions of Parikshit Maharaj.
所以呢，大家都决定要由苏克德和古斯瓦米来讲述，因为他呢是有资格去回答帕克希特王的问题的。
So we may ask why Narada Muni didn't speak, why Vyasadeva didn't speak. They also have this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why they didn't speak? Why they asked Sukadeva Goswami to speak?
那也许可能我们就会问这么一个问题了。那既然Srila Vyasadeva和Srila Narada Muni他们也都了解圣典波迦瓦坛的知识，为什么他们自己不讲述圣典波迦瓦坛，而是要Srila Sukadeva Goswami来讲述呢？
Because Sukadeva Goswami, after having heard this knowledge from his father and absorbed within himself, when he spoke with higher bliss, you know, with so much intensity, so much ecstasy. They wanted to hear, they wanted to experience that ecstasy of Sukadeva Goswami.
因为呢，就是当Srila Sukadeva Goswami 他从Srila Vyasadeva 那里听到了圣典波迦瓦坛的这个讲述之后呢，他展现出来的是极大的这种极乐之情。那么这些圣人们呢，他们也希望能够通过聆听Srila Sukadeva Goswami 的讲述，去体验他所得到的那种极乐。
Means he rendered the Srimad Bhagavatam even sweeter than it was before.
也就是说呢，Srila Sukadeva Goswami 他使得圣典波迦瓦坛比之前要变得更加的甜美。
Because of his own personal realization of it.
就是由于加上了他自己的对这个圣典波迦瓦坛的觉悟。
Shuka, the name of Sukadeva Goswami. Shuka means a parrot.
Sukadeva Goswami, his name is Shuka. Shuka 的意思呢是鹦鹉。
Shuka is a parrot, and a parrot is a bird that has a special property in his beak. Then when he bites a fruit.And if you eat that fruit that was bitten by the parrot, that fruit becomes sweeter.
这个鹦鹉它有一种特点，就是它的这个喙，当这个喙嘬过了这个果实之后，这个果实就会变得更甜。
because some chemical come emanating from his back that renders the fruit sweeter.
因为呢，就是有一些这个化学物质从他的喙里出来，然后呢，这种化学物质使得这个果实变得更加甜。
So the farmers where there are many people who grow fruits in the farms, we have many parrots around. These fruits that are touched by the parrots, they don't sell, they consume themselves because they know they are sweeter.
所以呢，就这个农夫他种了这个果子以后，如果要是这个果子要是被这个鹦鹉所捉过了之后，那他们是不会卖掉这个果子的，他们会自己食用这些果子，因为这些果子会更甜。
So this is what Shukadeva Goswami did because of his own realization. When he recited the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was even sweeter than when he received from his father.
所以呢，这就是为了 Shukadeva Goswami 所做的。那么就是他在讲述圣典波迦瓦坛的时候呢，就使得圣典波迦瓦坛比他从他的父亲那儿得到的这个圣典波迦瓦坛更加的甜美。
That's why his father Vyasadeva wanted to hear from him. That's why Narada Muni, the guru of his father, wanted to hear from him.
那这也就是为什么他的父亲是Vyasadeva以及是Vyasadeva的 guru 是Narada Muni 希望从他这里来聆听。
So this is our disciple succession.
所以这就是我们的使徒传承。
They bring down this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam.
是他们把圣典波迦瓦坛的这个知识传递了下来。
The way Srila Vyasadeva wrote, the way he communicated to his son Shukadeva Goswami, the way Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, and coming down to our Srila Prabhupada and today to all of us.
那首先呢，是Srila Vyasadeva他编写了圣典波迦瓦坛，然后呢，他又把圣典波迦瓦坛讲述给了他的儿子Srila Vyasadeva， Srila Shukadeva Goswami， 然后呢，Srila Shukadeva Goswami 呢又把这个圣典波迦瓦坛讲述给了帕克希特王，就这样一下一下这样传递下来，直到到Srila Prabhupada， 然后现在呢是我们能够听到。
So this is the great fortune we have. We are connected with this disciple succession that comes Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami until today. It's incredible. It's an incredible good fortune.
对呢，这对于我们来说呢是非常的令人不可思议的得到的幸运。那因为我们是从这条使徒传承中得到了圣典波迦瓦坛，那么这个是由 Srila Vyasadeva 给了 Srila Shukadeva Goswami， Srila Shukadeva Goswami 又给了 Parikshita 王，就这样一代代的这样传下来，然后最后得到是我们得到了它，所以我们是非常幸运的。
So we are extremely fortunate. We don't even realize a little speck of the good fortune we have received.
所以呢，我们是极为的幸运的，但实际上我们自己并没有意识到，我们一丁点都没有意识到我们是多么的幸运。
So we should actually have a lecture of Srimad Bhagavatam every day.
事实上呢，我们应该每天都应该有圣典波迦瓦坛的讲课。
That's what Srila Prabhupada established in his temples.
这也就是为什么Srila Prabhupada会建立起他的这些庙宇。
Because this is the perfect knowledge of the Vedas. The conclusion of the Vedas presented in the most ecstatic form.
因为呢，这个是最完美的知识，是伟达经的终极的结论，而且呢，它是一种非常的极乐的形式展现出来的。
Srimad Bhagavatam, it's only about Krishna, the devotees, and bhakti, pure devotional service.
那么，因为圣典波迦瓦坛呢，它仅仅讲述的是Krishna。他的奉献者以及 Bhakti 就是纯粹的奉爱服务的信息。
So this is the perfection of life.
对呢，这是生命的完美。
So we don't need to pay attention to these different departments of philosophy presented by all these great philosophers. We don't need.
所以我们不需要把我们的注意力放在由不同的哲人所展示的伟大经的不同的话题。
Because we are serving, trying to serve with love and devotion, the personification, the goal of all the Vedas.
因为呢，我们是在服务，我们是要就是要去服务这个伟大的终极的这个目标，这个。We are serving the goal of
the Vedas, Krishna.
因为我们要做的事情呢是服务伟达经的目标，也就是 Krishna.
Krishna is the goal to be obtained by the knowledge of the Vedas.
因为呢，得到了就是伟达经的知识的目的，就是为了要去达到 Krishna.要去获得就是真知 Krishna， 这是目标。
That's why you don't pay attention to other philosophies unless we are a good philosopher and we understand them nicely and you can use them to preach to people who are interested in this philosophy, so to help them to understand how the Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect conclusion of all philosophies.
所以呢，我们不需要去研究其他的这些哲学，除非我们自己是非常好的哲学家，而且呢，也能够非常精妙的完整的去理解其他的这些哲学。然后呢，我们可以用这些哲学呢，去向别人在布道的时候告诉大家，这个《伟达经》最终的这个结论，就是为了要觉悟到 Krishna。
嗯 ，So we hope that in this lifetime.We realize completely the great fortune that we have received from Srila Prabhupada.
对呢，我们就希望在这一生呢，我们能够意识到我们是多么的幸运。从这个从 Srila Prabhupada 这里得到了这么一份非常价值连城的礼物。
Not only presented the Srimad Bhagavatam.Perfectly and completely with the most beautiful purpose, but he was himself an example, perfect example of this knowledge.
Srila Prabhupada, 他不仅仅是为圣典薄伽瓦坛写下了这些非常美妙的精妙的要旨，而且呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 他本人是一个以身作则的去按照圣典薄伽瓦坛生活的榜样。
Okay, we stop here then.
那我们的讲话就到这儿。
And if you have any question or comments, we can.
看看大家有没有任何的问题或者是评述。
到现在没有了。
到现在还没有。有了。
帮友。
嗯。庞继东可不，顶拜咕噜，你翻译您好，佛陀是在西方极乐世界还是在灵性世界？Please accept my venerable obeisances. Is Lord Buddha in the Pure Land, which we call in the Western area, or in the spiritual world?
I never read anything about where he is situated, but one devotee disciple of Srila Prabhupada told me that Srila Prabhupada mentioned to him that Lord Buddha has one planet in heaven, but is like a spiritual planet, and those who worship him with love and devotion, like those Buddhists, Pure Land Buddhists, they worship Buddha as the master, and they use love and devotion in their activities. They go to his planet, there in a heavenly planet, and there they are further trained in the process of pure bhakti, and then from there they go to the spiritual world. This I have heard from that devotee, disciple of Prabhupada, who heard from Srila Prabhupada, but I never heard Srila Prabhupada's any writing or any conversation speaking about that. So I cannot vouch if this is authentic or not.
是这样的啊，就是我其实我从来没有阅读过是主佛陀他真正所在的这个位置，但是呢，舍勒帕帕的一位门徒他曾经跟我讲，他从舍勒帕帕那里这样听到，但是呢，就是他所听的这个信息呢，就只是听到，而并没有舍勒帕帕的任何的笔记中有记载，所以呢，我现在要说的这句话呢，并不知道是不是权威的。那当时舍勒帕帕就说呢，这个主佛陀他在天堂的星宿有一个居所，那么这个居所呢状态就很像灵性世界的状态，然后那些对于主佛陀有着奉爱之心的人，去服务主佛陀的人呢，在离世之后呢，就会去到主佛陀在天堂星宿的这个居所，然后在这个地方呢再进行进一步的培训，然后让他们能够就是培训出非常纯粹的奉爱，之后再被送到灵性世界。所以这只是听到的是舍勒帕帕的帕帕的门徒对他所说的话，所以这个我不知道这说的是不是就是权威的。
But I never read, I never heard personally Srila Prabhupada mention this in any recording, but it's not it's not impossible and as good sense, but again, I cannot guarantee you if this is right or wrong.
就是因为这个呢是我听来的，然后并没有我，但我自己并没有直接的听舍勒帕帕说，或者从他的著作里面看到他写到这一点，但是听起来还是很合理。但是我不知道他是，我没有办法去判断这是对的还是错的。
Next question.
Next question from Rajendra Prabhu. 感谢阿叔，谢谢 Dana Mata, Radha Priya Mata, 谢谢 Prabhu。论述世界由原子组成的 Kanada 也是Vaisheshika 本人吗？他卡帕拉是无神论的卡皮拉，他也教导数论哲学吗？阿斯塔瓦克拉教导是什么哲学？没听清。会谢还有 ，anyway there are lots. He said that Kanada he's explaining that the world has been created from the atom. Is he Vaisheshika?Vaisheshika himself, and also the Kapila is the
Kapila,
对啊 Kapila, Kapila is the ascetic of Kapila, so he is also preaching theanalytical philosophy, is that right? The Sankhya philosophy. And
yes,
also, what is the philosophy taught by Ashtavakra?
Okay, so we said Kanada, yes, Kanada explained how everything is broken, ultimately broken into atoms, is the smallest fragment of matter. Is Kanada gave this philosophy of Vaisheshika. It is the philosophy of Vaisheshika is presented as by Kanada. Yes.
Kanada and Vaisheshika.
Vaisheshika is the philosophy.
Okay. 首先呢，就是
Kanada is the philosopher.
Okay, 就是我刚才应该可能在那个时候是没有说清楚的。实际上就是 Vaisheshika 他是这个哲学， Kanada 是传播这个哲学的人。那么他所就是 Kanada 他所传播的这个 Vaisheshika 的哲学是什么呢？就是说一切它都会被分解成非常微小的原子，然后呢都会分解成非常非常小的部分。
That matter is broken down into invisible atoms.
然后呢，就是这个物质呢，它会分解成看不见的小颗粒。
Means everything is made of atoms.
也就是说呢，所有的一切都是由原子构成的。
It's like the origin of atomic energy.
所以呢，它就像是就像是最原始的原子能。
So the understanding of everything ultimately is broken down into invisible atoms.
所以呢，就是一切呢，它都会被分解成看不见的原子。
Kapila, it teach. This kapila is not the same because this kapila only made analytical analysis of what is matter, what is spirit, but is not conducive to develop the understanding that the souls ultimately are connected with the supreme soul. Whereas our kapila deva, he mentions that, he mentions this analytical process, but to the goal of understanding that we and the Supreme Lord, we have the same nature, but the Supreme Lord is the absolute and we are parts and parcels. Whereas this Kapila, he does not mention that. He's an atheist.
那么这位 Kapila 呢，他是一位无神论者。那他分析的只是分析了物质和灵性之间的区别，而他并没有就是有益于去达到一个就是这个个体和这个至尊是相互连接的这个结论。而我们的 Kapila Dev 呢，他是讲到这一点的，就是这个个体灵魂和至尊之间的这种关系，就是个体它是至尊不可分割的一个部分。
Ashtavraka is the origin of the impersonal philosophy. Before Shankaracharya, he was already disseminating this impersonal philosophy that later on became very popular through Shankaracharya, Lord Shiva.
那 Ashtavraka 他是在 Shankaracharya 之前开始传播非人格哲学的人。那么他的这个非人格哲学呢，后来是被 Shankaracharya给广泛的传扬开来，然后呢，通过 Shankaracharya 使得这个非人格的哲学呢变得非常的盛行。
So he was the one we studied this impersonal aspect of the philosophy, but it was Shankaracharya who really interpreted his own way with a touch of Buddhism, and then he preached it all over the place.
然后呢，是 Ashvatthakara， 他是研究了《韦达经》里面的关于非人格这一方面的这个题旨，但是呢，是 Shankaracharya 以他自己的方式对他的这个教导进行了解读，然后呢，再加上这个佛教的这个理念，然后把这个教导呢广泛的传播开来。
Next question.
Next part is about the 下面这一部分呢是关于 Shukadeva Goswami 的显现。除了阿叔您说的版本，还有另外一个版本说出生后了去了森林，父母不舍，自己就变出了自己就变出另外一个 Shukadeva， 随父亲回家成为居士，娶妻生子，本人弃绝而去。记得瓦坛第九篇有描述这两个版本。有可能同时不可思议的发生的吧。The other question is about the appearance of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Other than the version you recited just now, there was another version said that after Shukadeva Goswami was born, he went to forest. However, the parents was really feel bad for his leaving, so he.他就自己变出另外一个 ，so he extended himself another Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadev, and come back with his parents, to you know living with the parents, become a household, get a wife and give the birth to the children. But himself, the original Shukadev, renounced to in the forest.So I remember that in Srimad Bhagavatam's chapter Canto 9 has the illustration about this. So I wonder, for these two versions, is that possible for them, you know, simultaneously happened in the...
I don't remember. I remember hearing about that. I don't mm-hmm. remember reading that in the ninth canto, but I have to verify. It could be, or it could be in different Kali Yugas also. Sometimes, because Shukadeva comes in different Kali Yugas, so it could be also in a different Kali Yuga, referring to another Shukadeva Goswami in another Kali Yuga.
那么就是首先呢，就是您说的这个版本呢，我应该是听过，但是我不记得在第九篇里面有讲读过，所以呢我得去查一查。但是呢这也是有可能发生的，这可能是发生在不同的卡利年代，因为在不同的卡利年代里舒克德布古斯曼都有来，所以呢这可能是提的是另外一个卡利年代的另外一位舒克德布古斯曼。
But it's not impossible, yeah.
但是呢并不是说这不可能。
Okay, next question. In any case, we study the Shukadeva Goswami who became self-realized, became a pure devotee of Krishna by hearing Bhagavatam from his father and then preaching to Parikshit Maharaj. This is the version we have from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Maharaj Parikshit came to hear from Shukadeva Goswami, and the story of Shukadeva Goswami is narrated.
但是无论怎样呢，去了 Shukadeva Goswami 都是从他的父亲那儿听到了圣典薄伽瓦坛，然后使自己变得完美。然后这都是我们在圣典薄伽瓦坛在第一篇的时候所听到的。为什么是了苏克德波斯库斯瓦米他会向帕克西特王来讲述就是那个加瓦坦。
But of course, there are many, many references on the other Puranas about Shukadeva Goswami.
但是呢在其他的 Purana 往事书里面呢有很多的关于是了苏克德波斯瓦米的信息。
Okay, the next question.
The next question from Hello. 谢谢老师。据说有几个佛祖，其中一个是神的化身，甚至说尼泊尔出生的释迦牟尼佛都不是神的化身，只是个个体灵魂，是吗？还听奉献者说，释迦牟尼佛倡导空虚无，神的化身的佛祖只是传播非道理、非暴力，没有宣传空和虚无，所以想确认一下。谢谢您。I was told that there were several Lord Buddha, and one of them is the incarnation of the God. And somebody even say that Lord Buddha who was born in Nepal actually was not the incarnation of the Lord. He is only an individual soul. Is that right?And I also heard from devotees that Lord Buddha, he is preaching for voidism and, you know, emptyism. However, the incarnation of the Lord, he is only teaching the ahimsa. However, he is not really preaching the idea of voidism. So I just want to clarify with you, is that right?Thank you very much.
Now, the philosophy of voidism is preached by the incarnation of Krishna, Buddha as an incarnation of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam.
Srila Prabhupada 在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面提到了这个主的化身的这位主佛陀他所宣扬的是空无主义。
So they are actually, according to the different Buddhist scriptures, there are actually three types of Buddhas.
那么根据经典里面的这个信息呢，有三类佛陀。
One is the human Buddha.
其中的一位呢是人之佛。
Means is a person who becomes Buddha after being enlightened.
那也就是说呢，一个人在他得到教化之后呢，他成了佛。
like for this, very much in this part of China, people worship Sakamuni Fo, they say, Omito Fo. This is Sakamuni. It's a human person, human being, who by the practice of Buddhism became enlightened, became Buddha, and he stay in a human in this universe in order to give mercy to the human beings, to the living entities.
比如在中国, 特别是在咱们中国地区, 咱们所崇拜的就是这位释迦牟尼佛, 那么阿弥陀佛, 就是释迦牟尼佛, 那么他呢就是一, so actually the
is a human Buddha,
yeah,
a human
he's a
being
human
who
practices
and
so he's originally in the individual soul, right?
His individual soul.
OK, 那他呢就是一位个体灵魂, 他就是一位人之佛, 也就是说呢, 他得到了这个教化之后, 他成了佛, 然后呢, 他出于怜悯呢, 他要留在人世间, 然后呢, 去点拨众人。
He didn't become Buddha, he became enlightened like Buddha, but people tend to call him Buddha because they think Buddha is one, as the voidism and impersonalism are very similar, so they don't accept Buddha as a separated personality. They said, if you become enlightened, you become him, you become Buddha. So these human beings who become perfect, like Sakyamuni is one of them, but there were many before, they became Buddha after enlightenment.
所以呢，因为他就自己本身他并不是佛，而是他本来是一个人，他是经过了这个启明之后，经过觉悟动画之后呢，他变成了佛。因为佛教里面他所传播的这个理念呢，就是一的这个理念，就是所有人他能够成为一，就是他能够变得像佛那样。所以呢，在他得到这个顿悟之后呢，他就变成了佛。
So for those who understand there is also only this type of Buddhas, then they think everybody who becomes enlightened becomes him, becomes Buddha.
所以说呢，就是那些信仰这个理念的人呢，就觉得所有人在得到了这个觉悟顿化之后，顿悟之后呢，都可以像他这样，都可以变成佛，都可以成佛。
And then there is a bodhisattva Buddha, like in Tibet, is born enlightened. So they have an astrological calculation, and they find that a particular child is born already Buddha, is already enlightened. See, this is what the Tibetans follow, the enlightened Buddha that is already born like that.
那还有一种呢，就是藏传佛教里面所说的转世活佛。 就是他们根据这个星象学的这个测算呢，就能够测算出，在什么地方所生出来的这个孩子，他就已经是一个觉悟的灵魂，他是一个转世的活佛。
I lost you.
I'm here.
Yeah, I lost you for a while. And then, so this is also a human, a person who is already born enlightened, means from previous life, and he was already born enlightened, already have symptoms of being enlightened, and they consider him as the Buddha, and they worship him as the Buddha. This is what happened in Tibetan Buddhism tradition.
那在这个藏传的这个佛教的传统里面呢，就会有这种转世活佛。那由于他的前世的修为呢，使得他在这一世他在 出生的时候呢，他就已经是一个觉悟的灵魂，所以他就是转世的活佛。And
then there is the Adi Buddha. Adi means the original, is an incarnation of Supreme Lord Vishnu.
然后还有的就是Adi Buddha. Adi 的意思呢是原初的，也就是说呢，他是主 Vishnu 的最原初的化身。
So whatever knowledge is there revealed in the scriptures about that was given by this Buddha is what we accept as original knowledge of Buddhism.
所以说呢，由这位神，就由这位佛他在经典里面所给予的这个信息，我们把它接受为是由佛教的最原初的理念，最原初的教导。
What is given by the other Buddhas, human Buddhas or born enlightened Buddhas, it's already we would say a speculation about the original teachings of Buddhism.
而由这个人之佛和这个转世活佛他们所给的这个教导呢，其实这已经是经过推敲了的佛教的理念的教导了。
So that's why Buddhism is not united. They have two main philosophies, and in these two main philosophies, there are already many branches that they don't agree with each other.
所以就为什么这个佛教的理念它并不是统一的？那他们有这主要两支的这个分支，那这两支分支呢，已经让他们之间相互是有矛盾的。
In India, we still have people worship the Adi Buddha, the original Buddha, and they worship him as incarnation of the Supreme Lord. They know he's the Lord. They worship him in that way.
在印度呢，依然有人在崇拜着阿底布达，也就是这个至尊主的化身的佛陀。那么他们呢，是把他当成至尊主来崇拜的。
Whereas all over the place, all over the world, particularly in other places in Asia, they worship either human Buddhas, mean persons who became enlightened, or the Bodhisattva Buddha, means those who were born enlightened.
而在别的地方呢，大部分的人所敬拜的这个佛陀、佛祖呢，是人之佛，或者是转世活佛。
So.There is no clear sampradaya coming from the original Adi Buddha, so we are left with the thought that we don't know how much of the original knowledge is there in their philosophies, because they don't have a clear sampradaya that comes from the original Buddha. So the original knowledge is not.Anywhere complete in any of these forms of Buddhism.
因为阿底布达他已经没有一个完整的使徒传系来传递他的这个教导，所以说呢，我们没有办法非常完全的理解佛教的理念，佛教的教学。
So we accept the Adi Buddha because he's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam as one of the major incarnations of the Lord, and this philosophy is explained in brief, and in previous ages he also appeared and he gave us a slightly different type of philosophies, but that's what the philosophy you accept because it's coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. The other philosophies, yes, if they agree with his original philosophies, we accept, otherwise we don't accept. And in any case, the philosophy of Buddhism is not a perfect conclusion of the Vedas. It's not even Vedic in its most part of it.
所以呢，我们接受就我们知道阿底布达，那么他呢是在圣典博扎瓦坛里面所描述的主佛陀，就是至尊主的化身之一。所以呢，我们就接受他，但是呢，由于他没有一个完整的这个教导，所以说我们就只接受在这个圣典博扎瓦坛里面所描述的他的这个教导的这个内容。但是无论怎样呢，这个佛陀的教导它都不是一个完美的教导。
It's not even completely, in its majority, is not even Vedic.
而且呢，就是他的这个教导呢，甚至于不是伟达的教导。
Certain parts are from the Vedas, not everything.
因为呢，他的这个教导只有某一些部分是来自于伟达的，并不是所有的教导都是来自于伟达的。
Next question from Dina Tarini.
顶巴阿叔的莲花族，奉献者把梵歌的结构比作是三层楼，底层做代表是生活，中层代表气绝生活，寻求解脱，顶层代表的是完全专注于解脱之境。奉献服务是最高的解脱之境，是一种解脱形式。请教阿叔，把奉献服务归类于一种解脱形式是否正确？现在有些奉献者，也就是 BG 和 SB 的有关的知识著书立说，有的能看懂，有的 会看懂，是否推荐奉献者看这些书，作为学习《博加梵歌》和《圣典·博加瓦坛》的辅助。The first part of the question, please accept my very humble obeisances to your lotus feet. Some devotee, some devotee said that the structure of the Bhagavad Gita is as a building with three floors. It has the ground floor. The ground floor represents the mundane life, and the middle floor represents the detached from the mundane life, and also seeking for the liberation. And the top floor represents the fully focus on the situation of liberation. And the devotional service is the highest liberation, is the highest situation, highest state of liberation. And is also a kind of a way of liberation. So my question is that if it's proper for put the devotional service as the category of the way of liberation. Right now there were devotees started to write books for Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Some of the books we can understand, but some of the books cannot be followed, cannot understand. So I wonder if it's alright for us to recommend the devotees to read these books. Will this, commentary from the devotees will be, conducive for us to study the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam? Ashwa, are you there?
Concerning this part of the question, this last part, before you read or before you encourage others to read these comments, you have to first inquire from our authorities, spiritual masters and GBCs or GBC representatives, to see if these persons, particular devotees, are authorized to write comments or any writings based on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, should be the first thing, criteria to be followed before we read and before we disseminate to others.
当我们在读奉献者所写的这些这个对于博加梵歌和圣典博加瓦坛的注解的这些书的时候，我们首先先要问的一个问题就是，这些奉献者他们是不是被授权了去写这样的书籍？我们要向 GDC 或者 GDC 的代表，或者是我们的灵性导师，像这些权威人物，先要去探寻这个问题的答案。然后呢，我们才自己去读，或者是去叫就是推荐别人读。
So means we have to follow the system of authority before accepting any writings, any comments on Srila Prabhupada's books.
我们在接受除了 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍之外的任何的著作之前呢，我们首先先要去看看它是不是符合权威的。它是不是符合权威的认证？我们要先经过这个程序。
Otherwise, it can create great confusion in the minds of people.
否则的话呢，它可能就会在人的内心之中造成很大的困惑。
Whatever comments, whatever writings come out has to be in line with the teachings of our parampara. And in order to do that, we have to have the confirmation of our authority of those particular devotees.Are abilitated, they are qualified to write those comments.
对任何的著作，任何的这些教导呢，都必须要和我们的使徒传系的这个教导是相吻合的。那所以为了要证实这一点呢，我们就必须要从我们的权威，从我们的上级那里去证实，去澄清。
Yes, the Bhagavad Gita explain. It can be seen in different levels, yes.
那么国家放歌的确可以看成有不同的层级。
But to say that devotional service, the ultimate level, the higher level explained in the Bhagavad Gita is another form of liberation is wrong.
但是如果要是说《博家梵歌》里面所讲述的奉爱服务是另外一种形式的解脱，这是错的。
No, it's actually the real liberation.
实际上不是，它是真正的解脱。
Real liberation means is to be reinstated in our constitutional position of being it loving eternal servants of Krishna. This is the real liberation.
那真正的解脱也就意味着我们重新又建立起了我们和 Krishna 之间的爱的关系。那当我们重新又建回这样的关系的时候，这就真正的解脱。
To be reinstated, to be repositioned in our original position as eternal loving servants of the Lord.
就是重新回到我们是 Krishna 的永恒的怀着爱的仆人的这个位置上。
So it's the complete form of liberation. Any other form of liberation, it's incomplete, so we don't accept as real liberation.
所以说呢，这个奉爱服务就是重新建立起和 Krishna 的关系是终极的完整的解脱，而其他的任何形式的解脱呢，都是不完整的。
And Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita does not waste time with any other so-called form of liberation.
而圣典博迦瓦坛和博迦梵歌呢，都不会把时间浪费在其他的所谓的各种各样的解脱的形式上。
Because impersonal liberation means to be freed.From material existence, being freed from misery, being freed from karma, is automatically there achieved by the process of pure devotional service.
因为呢，就是其他的非人格的解脱或者各种各样的解脱，它都是在通过从事奉爱服务的时候呢，自动的达到了。
Because pure devotional service is the complete form of liberation.
因为呢，这个纯粹的奉爱服务，它是完整的解脱的形式。
So there is no encouragement in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam to pursue any for other form of liberation.
所以说呢，在圣典博迦瓦坛和博迦梵歌里面呢，没有任何一个部分它是鼓励大家去追随其他形式的解脱的。
Okay, next question.
The next question, 现在在网上有各种各样收费的博迦梵歌和圣典博迦瓦坛的讲课，从几十到几千都不等，有的甚至两三个月就能够有30,000左右的受益。先前的 Acharya 都是免费的向大众派发超然的知识，听众向他们布施食物和生活必需品，现在似乎好像变味儿了，讲课成了谋生的职业，甚至成了致富的方法。我自己现在一律不参加这些讲课，我觉得布施应该是自愿的，并且布施是给值得布施的事。请教阿叔，我的想法和做法是否正确？谢谢您。Right now, there were all kinds of online courses about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, based on a fee charging courses.From several tens RMB to several thousand. And there were some of the seminar courses took for 2 to 3 months, but they were charging some of the 2 to 3 months of the courses, they can get the benefit over 30,000 RMB. However, in the previous time, the Acharya, they are freely to give the transcendental knowledge to the mass people. And the audience, they give the donation to the speaker in the form of food or living commodities. But right now, it seems that the whole flavor has been changed. The speaking become a kind of profession, become away of making the life or become a way even to become wealthy. right now, personally, I didn't join any of the seminars at all, because I think giving donation is something volunteer. You need to do it from your heart. And we need to give the donation to those worthwhile to be donated with. So my question to you, Dirashu, is that if my way of doing of things or if my way of thinking is right or proper. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe it's proper.
那我相信你的这个做法是恰当的。
And I is the first time I'm hearing about this seminars that we have to be paid.
而且呢，这也是第一次我听说这讲课还得花钱。
So maybe you can inform the authority in our areas, if it's a person who is connected with the GBC in your area, to find out if these are bona fide seminars and if they are correct to charge this amount of money and what is the reason.
那所以我想可能您也许可能把这件事情是不是跟您当地的这个 GBC 的领导去反映一下，就是去反映一下，就是这些讲课到底是不是正宗的讲课，以及呢他们所收的这些钱是为什么而收的，是要干什么用的。
Maybe I'm just saying because I don't know about this. Maybe there is some of these things authorized with a certain remuneration because the devotees voluntarily are not giving any donations to these teachers. They are not sending them fruits and vegetables and grains like before, and they have to maintain themselves by teaching, and they are not getting any maintenance if they are waiting for people who, voluntary donations. So that's why it was decided, maybe it was decided to get some fees for their seminars.
那也许可能呢，是由于就是，现在也不可能，就是布施食物啊，或者是生活用品这样的方式。那么这些老师他在讲课的时候呢，那也许他必须他得有这种谋生啊。那所以说呢，为了要这个维持这个生活， 所以说呢才决定 在讲课的这个时候呢会收一些钱，也许可能是这样的一个状况。
But I don't know.
但我不知道是不是这样的。
It's just my guess.
这只是我的猜想。
The best thing is to refer this to local or your area representative of GBC and find out if these courses given by these devotees with those fees are authorized or not, and what is the reason behind that. Because everything has to be clear, transparent in the life of devotees, and everything happens in a life should be transparent.
那我觉得最好呢，就是还是向当地的 GBC 的领导去反映一下，然后呢去查一下，就是这个讲课是授权的，是不是？然后呢就是收钱是为什么要收钱，而且这收钱是干什么用的？因为呢，作为一个奉献者，他的这个生活本来就是应该完全透明的。
Outside in the world, there are people who teach things for money. And one of the reasons why they teach things for money is not just to maintain themselves, but also to make the audience more interested in learning. Because when you pay for something, you are more interested in getting the value of what you pay. If you don't pay, you take it for free, you get it for free. You take it for granted because it's coming for free. So that's also this mentality. Is that why the devotees are charging fees for their seminars? Again, it's just my guess.
那就是在咱们这个奉爱生活之外的一些这个培训情况中呢，他们会收钱。但他这个收钱呢，一方面呢是为了赚钱，那还有另外一方面呢，是由于 他通过这个收钱呢，使得聆听者更加的专注，而且呢，他们会觉得因为付了钱，所以呢就要更认真的去听，从而呢从中获益。那么也许，就是我们在我们的这个奉爱的这个课程中收钱，可能也是这样的一个想法，就是通过这个收费呢，使得 大家能够更加的珍惜以及专注自己所听到的这个内容，但是这也是我所猜想的，也许可能是这样的一种心态。
It's just my guess also.
所以这只是我的一种猜想。
So my suggestion, you refer to the authorities and find out if those devotees are authorized to give those seminars and receive fees.
那所以说呢，我给您的建议呢，就是向领导，向 GBC 的这个代表来进行反映，然后看一看这个收钱是不是合理的，然后呢是不是被授权了的。
Okay, next question.
The next question, 顶拜咕噜，请问唱诵圣名时热泪盈眶是灵性进步吗？是和 Krishna 连接上了吗？是好事吗？ Please accept my humble obeisances. My question is that while we are chanting the holy name, we shedding tears or we have the tears in our eyes. Is this a symptom of spiritual advancement?And also, is this a symptom of the connection with Lord Krishna? Is this a positive sign?
Yeah, it is.
是的。
But
it's
not a symptom. But it's not something to demonstrate in public.
但是呢，这并不是一个在大庭广众要去展现的状况。
There is a quote by Srila Rupa Goswami said, "If tears."Are not coming from your eyes, and if you don't feel the airs of in your body standing on air, you don't feel trembling when you are chanting the holy names. It means that your heart is still framed.
Rupa Goswami 说，当你在唱诵圣名的时候，如果眼中没有流下泪水，如果你的身体没有颤抖，如果要是你的这个汗毛没有竖起来的话，也就意味着你的这个心依然还是被捆缚着的。
But we cannot pretend, we cannot fake these things.
但是我们不能够装腔作势的去让自己有这样的征兆。
And we should, by all means, even if we have those feelings sometimes, like you say, you feel like crying or tears come from your eyes when you chant, don't do that in public.
还有另外一个呢，就是当您比如说在眼睛在念诵的时候有了泪水，或者说有各种各样的在念诵中所获得的这种感受，那么这种感受不要在别人的面前去显现。
It's very personal.
因为这是一个非常个人的事情。
It's not something to demonstrate.
而且呢，这也不是要向别人展示的。
Srila Prabhupada was in the most advancedstage of loving devotion, and he certainly have all these ecstatic symptoms, but always refrain from showing them in public.
Srila Prabhupada 呢，他是有最高的奉爱之情的，而且呢，毫无疑问，他是会显现所有的这些极乐的真相的。但是呢，他从来都会控制着自己，不在外人面前去显现。
Only in few instances something manifests outside that Srila Prabhupada shortly after refrain himself.
只有有那么几次，偶尔的几次，是要怕怕他在别人的面前显现了这些征兆，但他立刻在很短的时间内就控制住了自己。
But it's nice. It's nice if you feel you have this feeling of crying when you are chanting you have a feeling of having a great mercy that have opportunity to chant the holy names, and you feel really very gladdened within your heart that you feel crying. Yeah, do it.
但是呢，如果要是在您在念诵的时候有这种非常感动的心情，然后呢，也很喜乐，而且呢是喜极而泣的这种情况的话，那是很好的。而且呢，不要让自己控制住，就去做就好了。
It's a good sign that at least you are appreciating the holy names and you experience that is an incredible mercy.
而且呢，这是一个很好的征象，因为至少也展示出你是非常的欣赏圣名的。那么这是一个非常的不可思议的仁慈。
Next question.
请问阿叔，只有皈依 Krishna 的人才能够去灵性星宿，为什么 Krishna 为什么 Krishna 库鲁之战说 每个人都会去到那里呢？白子做了什么恶事，而且对 Krishna 不敬，他们怎么也会去那干 ？OK, I paraphrase her question. She's saying, Ashu, why only the people who surrendering the Lord can go to the spiritual planet? However, in the battlefield of a Kurukshetra, why Krishna said that everyone can go to the spiritual planet? And also, the Duryodhana and his brothers has done those many, very vicious deeds. And they are so disrespected to Lord Krishna, but why they also can go to the spiritual planet? Thank you.
Well, we also did many, many horrible things before, and now we have an opportunity to surrender to Krishna.
因为我们之前其实也干了好多坏事，可是现在呢，我们有机会臣服 Krishna 了。
So sometimes that opportunity comes. Most of the time comes to the devotees who give this chance of beginning our process of surrender to Krishna.
那这样的这个机会呢，大部分都是来自于 Krishna 的，来自于奉献者的，因为他给了我们一个让我们能够归于 Krishna 的机会。
Sometimes can be directly from being in contact with Krishna, like Duryodhana and so many other evil people.
但是有的时候呢，就这种仁慈是可以直接来自于 Krishna 的，比如说像 Duryodhana 还有很多其他的邪恶的人。
Means their hearts were touched and they in short time they surrendered to Krishna.
也就是说呢，他们的这个内心被感动了，所以呢，很短的时间内他们就能够向 Krishna 皈依。
In contact with Krishna, they became purified.
那么当他们跟 Krishna 连接之后呢，他们就变得净化了。
And they surrendered.
然后他们就皈依了。
Krishna, he loves everybody.
Krishna 爱每一个人。
Krishna has no enemies.
Krishna 没有敌人。
He loves the atheists and he loves the devotee. He just reciprocates according to their desires. The devotee wants to serve Krishna. Krishna reciprocates by running by.Serving the devotee or allowing the devotee to serve him, when a person wants to be an antagonist, Krishna reciprocates and let him to be an antagonist. But Krishna loves everybody.
Krishna, 他是爱每一个人的。Krishna, 他爱奉献者。Krishna, 他也爱无神论者。但是 Krishna, 他会根据每一个人对他所做出的这个事情给予相应的回报。那如果要是奉献者他想要这个通过爱心去为 Krishna 做服务的话呢，那么 Krishna 他就让奉献者为他做爱心的服务。但是如果要是这个如果是这个无神论 ，So I saw you said about the atheists they want to keep antagonism. I don't know that word.
Antagonist against Krishna, so Krishna gives them a facility to be against him.
OK, 如果是这个无神论者呢，他们要是想要反对 Krishna 的话呢，那 Krishna 也会为他提供相应的这个条件，让他反对他。
OK, Krishna gives free choice to everyone.
所以呢 ，Krishna 是给每一个人自由的选择。
Next question.
请接受我这个来自于 Vara.Varadashvara Mataji, 请接受我谦卑的顶拜。在物质世界里，曾经为您付出的人，我们亏欠的人，修习 Krishna 知觉后，为至尊祖服务，还亏欠这些人吗？ Please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that in this material world, actually, we feel debt to some people, because of those, there were some people, help us and also, dedicated a lot of things to us. So we feel debt to them. However, after we practice the Krishna consciousness, after we render the service to the Lord, we still have the debt to them.
No, because we are serving Krishna, and by serving Krishna, this is the best way. The best way to show gratitude to everyone.
那其实已经不对他们有任何的亏欠了，因为我们服务了主 Krishna， 那么服务主 Krishna 呢，是一个最好的向每个人表达我们的感恩之情的方式。
So we don't need to show retribution to those who have rendered some nice service to us through life, but we should always honor and remember that.
那我们虽然说对于这些就是曾经对我们很好的这些人，没有亏欠之心了，但是在我们的内心呢，永远都要表达对他们的尊敬之情。
And the best retribution for those, particularly those in your family, you know, that are close to you, the best retribution is your devotional service to Krishna, because if you become a pure devotee, they also get devotional benefits because of being connected with you.
那么对于那些我们身边的人，比如说我们家人，我们这些亲近的人，最好的回报的方式就是我们很好的去从事对主 Krishna 的奉爱服务。然后因为当我们在从事纯粹的奉爱服务的时候呢，他们也能够得到奉爱的这个益处，因为他们是和我们连在一起的。
This is the last question.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for your nice questions.
非常感谢大家这么好的问题。
Thank everybody else for listening there.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
It was a free lecture.
这是一个免费的，这是一节免费的讲课。
A special thank you to Danakeli Radha Priya Mataji.
然后也特别的感谢 Radha Priya Mataji 还有 Danakeli.
Because of giving us so much time for association.
就是由于他们呢，使我们有这么多的时间可以联谊。
140 minutes.
我们今天讲了一个140分钟。
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari, 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 Hari. Oh, if you are interested, we will be zooming a presentation on Sri Radhastami, translated by one Mataji here in Taiwan. So those of you who know how to connect with Zoom can be connected. We can spread out the meeting room idea to everyone. And we're gonna do it at 11 o'clock on, or 11 a.m. on Wednesday.
大家如果有兴趣的话呢，在星期三 Radhastami 日的时候呢，阿叔会在 Zoom 这个平台里面讲关于 Radharani 的Radharani 显现日的一节讲课。那么这节讲课呢是11点开始，然后这节课呢是由台湾的一位 Mataji 翻译的，所以呢，
It's a PPT presentation.
然后呢，在讲课的时候呢，还会有 PPT 的这个演讲同时的展现。所以如果大家有愿意要听的话呢，可以就阿叔会晚点把关于 Zoom 的这个链接发给我们。
Okay. Thank you. Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.
Hari Hari Bo, 阿叔记载。把昆达之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者。那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了，非常感恩阿叔为我们的精彩讲述以及对所有的问题的耐心的解答。谢谢 Radha Priya Mataji 为我们安排的这么好的平台。感恩所有的奉献者的聆听，深深的顶拜大家，祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个非常美妙的周日。Hare Krishna。